encounter Jerry. COVID hit again. seems like it's destiny. I won't be able to see PI for some time, but hopefully soon. All right, yeah. So today I'll talk about Minimax surfaces and the HRT holographic entropy cone. This is some work in progress I've been doing with my advisor, Matt Hadrick, together with Veronica Ubini and Brianna Grada-White. Let's start. So the talk will be divided into three sections: an introduction, second part where I'll discuss the HRT prescription and the Maximin prescription, and then a final this section where I'll discuss my actual research, which is called Minimax. All right, so the context of this research is ADS-CFT, and as you may know, ADS-CFT is this beautiful duality that on one side you have quantum gravity or string theory in anti-Lissitzky spacetime, and that somehow is dual to some conformal field theory on the boundary of that ADS spacetime. And in particular, we're often interested in the classical limit of this duality, in the sense that we take the conformal field theory on the boundary to be strongly coupled and at large n, meaning that the dual gravitational theory from string theory reduces to just Einstein gravity, so classical Einstein gravity. And so one statement of this duality says that quantum states from CFT, those should be dual to some classical smooth space-time geometries. It's a simple example. The vacuum state is just dual to empty ADS, but like a thermal state, for example, would be dual to a black hole space-time. One question that people have been very much interested in answering is, can we characterize such states better? So somehow, can we find some requirements for a CFT state to have a classical geometric dual? And one common thread of like research that tried to answer this is by studying entanglement entropy, in particular properties of entanglement entropy. And yeah, people have realized that this can teach us a lot about these kind of questions. So in QFT, of course, one can define entanglement entropy of subregions. And this entanglement entropies obey some inequalities. So there's a trivial one that's just positivity, which is the von Neumann entropy of a subregion A is always positive, or zero, of course. Then you have subadditivity, which is the second one right here, and then strong subadditivity, which is perhaps the most obscure one of the three. And these are just general inequalities that should be obeyed by any quantum state. One of the greatest results of ADS-CFT from 2006-2007 is that in this classical limit of ADS-CFT for static states, so time-independent states in the CFT, the entanglement, the von Neumann entropy of some subregion of the CFT can be understood geometrically from the gravitational side through the so-called Ryu Takainagi proposal, where the entanglement entropy of a subregion A is given by the area of some surface, M of A, and this surface is special because it's the globally minimal surface that's homologous to A. And by homologous to A, I mean the following. I've drawn a cartoon of ADS-CFT on the bottom where you have some Cauchy slice. In yellow, you have the region A. In blue, you have this special surface. And by homology, it means by being homologous to A, I just mean that there exists a region R, the red one, whose boundary is given by A union the surface. So this proposal just says that the von Neumann entropy of this subregion is equal to the area of this globally minimal surface. Some of the early consistency checks of this formula were to check whether this proposal obeyed the inequalities that people expected the entanglement entropy to obey. Of course, positivity is trivially satisfied because area is always positive definite, but it's less trivial to check that strong, that subadditivity and strong subadditivity are satisfied. So let's check. I'll show you a very simple and beautiful argument to prove that strong subadditivity is indeed satisfied by this proposal. And this is due by to Takeyanagi and Hedrick in 2007, a few months after the original paper came out. And the argument is the following. So here I've drawn a time slice of ADS. I've drawn three regions, A, B, and C, which are adjacent, but they don't need to be. It just makes the argument a little bit cleaner. And so I've drawn in blue, I've drawn the homology region for the region AB. In red, the homology region for the regions BC. In green, the region for ABC. And that's it on the drawing. And so the statement is that, okay, so you have your inequality, which says that S of AB plus S of BC is always greater or equal than S of B plus S of ABC. So what I can do is the following. I'm going to define some regions, which I'm going to call R tildes. And these R tildes are not the optimal homology regions. So I'm going to call R tilde ABC the union between the homology regions for AB and BC, and R tilde of B, the intersection of those two homology regions. So in the drawing, the R tilde of ABC is just the union of this blue one with the red one. And R tilde of B is the intersection. So it's this triangular, small triangular wedge, which has, you know, like a purplish color due to the intersection between the blue and the red. And what I can say now is that, well, I've just distributed areas. So the total area didn't change. So S of AB plus S of BC is equal to this sort of a fake S of tilde of B and S of tilde of ABC. But now I can say that that's going to be greater or equal than the actual sum of entropies S of B plus S of B, ABC, because those were candidate homology regions, but not necessarily the optimal ones. So this is a very simple proof for to show that strong subadditivity holds for this proposal. The exciting thing about this Ryu Takenagi proposal and holography in general is that these holographic static states were found to obey more inequalities than just the standard ones. This was shown by a paper by Hayden, Hedrick, and Maloney in 2011. And what I mean by that is that they've shown that the Ryu Takenagi proposal obeys this new inequality called monogamy of mutual information, or MMI in short, which is this long inequality in equation two. This, of course, is not satisfied by arbitrary quantum states. So if you just take a random quantum state, it need not to satisfy this inequality. But what they prove is that these static states in this classical limit of ADS-CFT do indeed obey it. And so this is one first characterization of holographic quantum states. In some sense, you know, it's a check whether a state should have a classical geometric dual, because if it obeys this, then it's some consistency check to see whether it can have this geometric dual in the duality. The even more exciting thing is that soon more inequalities were found in a paper by Bao and others and friends, also in 2011. And not just more inequalities, but infinitely many more. And the collection of these inequalities takes the name of the holographic entropy cone. So to discuss the holographic entropy cone, one needs to imagine more and more boundary regions. So for example, let's suppose that we have N subregions plus a region O, which I call the purifier. Then there's going to be 2 to the N minus 1 possible combinations of these subregions. For example, like A1, A2, or A1, A2, A3, or A1, AN, and so on and so forth. And the minus one is there because we're not taking into account the empty set. And so there's 2 to the N minus 1 possible combinations for these subregions that make up this set of possible entropies you can compute for these N regions. Now, if we move into like a abstract entropy space, which has size r to the 2n minus 1, now these entropies will define a basis for the space. And what one can do, it's not trivial, but what one can do is that can show that the RT proposal, so the Ryu-Takayanagi proposal, satisfies all of these inequalities, all of these infinitely many inequalities, using a very similar proof method as the one I've shown before, where you cut and glue surfaces to kind of show these inequalities. Now, one question after Ryu and Takayanagi made their proposal was, what can we say about general holographic states that have time dependence? So not just static states or time symmetric states. Now, as a quick, I'm gonna discuss more later what I mean by this first question, but quickly, the state of the art right now is that general holographic states with time dependence are found to obey both strong subadditivity and MMI, but a general proof for higher inequalities remain elusive. And by higher inequalities, I mean the one I just described about the holographic entropy cone. However, there's been some recent progress in this direction. In 2019, Chek and Shidong wrote a beautiful paper where they took as an example D equal to, so ADS-CFT in D equals 2 for time-dependent states, and they brute force checked all, like most, well, they checked up to an inequality, up to like, I think, a huge number of inequalities, and they all are satisfied. So this seems to give a hint that indeed the general holographic states with time dependence should obey the same inequalities as static states. And this is the punchline of my talk, is that in our work, which I should mention is not complete yet, we haven't crossed the T's and dotted the I's, but everything seems to be working out nicely. So we confirm that the result indeed is valid in general dimensions. And we do that by proposing a new holographic entanglement entropy prescription. So, but before we do that, let's review what we know about general holographic, the prescription to compute entanglement entropies for time dependence. So these two prescriptions are called HRT and Maximin. So let's start by HRT. So HRT stands for Humini Rangamani Takayanagi. So the R is different than the first R. And the idea is that instead of looking at globally minimal surfaces on Cauchy slices, what one needs to do is look for minimal extremal surfaces, codimension two space-like surfaces in the spacetime. And the reasons for that is that there are no globally minimal surfaces in a Lorentzian spacetime. There are no maximal codimension two space-like surfaces in a Lorentzian spacetime as well. But what one can do is find extremal surfaces. And then to kind of match the result that one would expect from the RT proposal, then you pick the minimal one among these extremal surfaces. That's called the HRT proposal. And when I say extremal surfaces, there's a few ways of thinking about them. They're all equivalent. So the obvious way is that they are extrema of the area functional. So you just write the area functional as the, you know, the integral of the volume element over the surface and you extremize it. That's the definition. A second way is that they are surfaces on which the trace of the extrinsic curvature vanishes. And this way of thinking about it basically tells you that you basically have codimension two space-like surfaces in Lorentzian spacetime. They have two independent degrees of freedom, one that is purely time-like and one that's purely space-like. And by extremal, what this is equivalent of saying is that codimension two space-like extremal surfaces are invariant under, like the area is invariant under deformations along the time-like direction and the space-like direction. So in other words, they are minimal along the space-like directions and maximal along the time-like direction. A third way of thinking about it, which is similar to the second one, is that there are surfaces with vanishing null expansion. And null expansion is a object in GR that tells you, so if you look at a congruence of null geodesics, so a family of null geodesics that starts from the surface, that tells you, the expansion tells you how converging or diverging this bundle of null geodesic is. And having vanishing null expansion just means that along this surface, all of this null geodesic don't diverge nor converge initially. So these are three equally valid ways of thinking about experiment surfaces. So this is the first proposal, is the HRT proposal tells you to find the minimal extrema surfaces in the spacetime. The second proposal, which came right after HRT, is by Aaron Wall, which connects more to this view of extremality in area as vanishing of the second one, vanishing of extrinsic curvature. And basically the idea is that you look at all possible Cauchy slices that contain your region A. On each one of them, you pick the minimal area surface, just like you would for Ryu Takayanagi. And then among these minimal surfaces, you pick the maximal one. So the prescription is that is given in equation three. You have S of A, the entropy of the region A, is given by the maximal among variations of Cauchy slices, and then minimal, you minimize among the area on each Cauchy slice. Pictorially, what you want to do is the following. You have this region A in yellow. You have multiple possible Cauchy slices. And on each one of them, you pick the minimal surface. You find the minimal surface. And then among all of these minimal surfaces, you find the maximal. So why is great? It's because it reduces the complicated problem of computing extremal surfaces to just finding minimal surfaces on Riemannian manifolds. And of course, computationally, this second prescription is not that great because, of course, you would need to find in infinitely many areas and then picking the maximal one, which is, of course, impossible from a practical point of view. But it's great for proof purposes. And indeed, while very, very hard to prove inequalities for HRT, Wall was able to prove SSA and MMI using Maximin quite easily. So I was informed that I had 5 minutes, so let's skip ahead. So basically, yeah, the point is that this Maximin proposal is great for to prove these inequalities, but it fails at all the higher order inequalities. So everything after MMI, it fails because regions start intersecting one another. They start crossing one another. And so you can't put them on the same Cauchy slice, essentially. So just let me just quickly discuss how we fix the problem. And the idea is that, let me just skip ahead, you remove Cauchy slices and you replace them with time-like counterparts, which we call timesheets. And the idea is, so a drawing is better than 1,000 words. Here you have ADS-CFT, basically you have a region A. And basically with this minimax prescription, you stop caring about time slices of your spacetime, but you look at the entire spacetime. And so the prescription says that for each timesheet, which is a time-like hypersurface that's homologous to this domain of dependence of the region, for each of these time-like hypersurface, you find the maximal surface that lives on it. And then you vary among timesheets and you pick the minimal one. So you basically switch the order of maximin. So this is a prescription in equation four. Instead of doing maximin, so you minimize among surfaces area and then you pick the maximal one, here you pick the maximum one and then you find the maximal area on each timesheet and then pick the minimal one. And the reason why And you can prove this is equivalent to HRT and Maximin, and there's a beautiful proof for it, which I you're more than welcome to ask, but maybe it's better if I don't go through it right now. But the reason is that this is better for proving inequalities, because now essentially you are not trying to, so the reason why Maximin failed is that with Maximin, you try to project all of these surfaces on one Cauchy slice and then reduce the proof to the static one, the static proof that I showed you at the beginning of the talk. But like I said, when you go to higher inequalities, that's not the case anymore. You can't do that because you can't project them on the same Cauchy slice. And so with our method, with Minimax, you don't really care anymore about the Cauchy slices because you're looking at the entire spacetime. And so you don't encounter this issue when you look for higher entropy inequalities. And I guess I can stop now. And if you guys have questions, I'm gonna stop now and just ask me questions if you're curious. Thank you.
So just to be clear about the important point at the end, is it the case that Maximin and Minimax are the same description, but it's easier to prove inequalities in one case, or they're different?
Right. Yeah. Great question. So yes, they are equivalent. So maybe I didn't mention this, but both HRT and Maximin are already equivalent. That's just two different ways of viewing it. And Minimax is indeed also equivalent to Maximin and HRT. And indeed the reason why, so from a practical point of view, it's, you know, it doesn't help us to have a new prescription to do things. But it helps us for proving inequalities. And for example, the HRT prescription is really bad at proving inequalities because it relies on extremality of area functionals. And that's really, really hard to work with when you're trying to prove inequalities. But Maximin is really good because you basically reduce the problem to looking at Riemannian surfaces. Surfaces on Riemannian manifolds. So while harder to compute Maximin gives you an advantage for proofs, but it comes short when proving higher inequalities for the reason that I mentioned before. And Minimax solves all of these issues. It's probably the most intricate prescription to describe in words, but it is the best one to use for proof purposes. Yeah.
Thank you.
Sorry, so what's the condition that the two things are equivalent? Did you mention like null energy condition or?
So are you asking what are the conditions that we're assuming to prove equality?
Yeah.
So we assume the same conditions that Wall assumed for Maximin. So the null energy condition and that the Einstein field equations are satisfied.
Okay, but then if you want to describe, for example, if you want to use this for evaporating black holes or whatever, then null energy condition is violated. So then are they still equivalent in that case?
No, if you don't assume the null energy condition, they would not be equivalent. But I don't think that's a big issue because, I mean, here we're talking about just the classical limit of a DSCFT, just like, you know, HRT and Maximin. When you start discussing evaporating black holes, for example, when, you know, in the recent developments with islands and angular wall prescriptions and stuff, those are, you know, they include quantum corrections and things like this. And so you will need to add, you will need to look at the generalized entropy, add the entropy of bulk quantum fields in the spacetime and so forth. But none of this is taken into consideration here. Yeah, it's just purely classical. Yeah. Thank you. That's a good question.
Okay, great. If there's no other questions, let's thank Guillermo again for this great talk. And it's time for coffee break right now.
Thank you, everyone. I wish I was there.